Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for all that you do in our lives, for all the love and grace that you pour out into our everyday experiences. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to draw us closer to yourself and to each other. Lord, as we continue to worship you this morning, speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Well, I'm sorry to have to do this to you. In fact, I'm sorry I have to say this at all. But you have a problem. Each one of us here has a problem. And it's not the person you came with. And it's not them that has the problem. You have the problem. And so do I. And yes, some of us are better at covering up this particular issue. And it's a problem that we've all had to deal with since birth. Now, let me help you remember, just in case you're not sure what problem I'm talking about that you have. As I said, it began when you were born. When you were born, could you take care of yourself?
No.
No, okay. Who took care of your needs? Your parents. What did you do when you had a need such as you were hungry? Cried. Let's say that together. Cried. When you were cold?
Cried.
When you soiled your diapers?
Cried.
When you were hurt?
Cried.
When you were scared?
Cried.
How about lonely?
Cried.
So what did life revolve around then at that moment? Me. Yes, the problem that you have had since birth, although again some of us covered up better than others, is that we want to be taken care of. We want life to revolve around us. In one word, it's called selfishness. Selfishness. But it's not always about what we want, but sometimes we think selfishness can come up in that we think we're right most of the time, if not all of the time. We close our ears off to what others might say to us because it would suggest that we are wrong. It's a symptom of selfishness too. But the worst thing that selfishness can lead you to is full-blown pride. I am better than you. Pride. Now, King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. What has been before. Selfishness or pride is not a new thing. And sometimes, because of it, we might be called things like jerk. But worse, what pride or selfishness can do is stifle our Christian growth. Now, as we enter the Lenten season, we're looking at small shifts that we can make in our souls that can really impact our lives to the glory of God. Now, it could be scary to think, what? I need to make a change in my life? But it can be downright frightening to really come to a specific thing that we do need to change. And then allow God to help us to do it. But it's okay. We're not alone. God is with us. The Holy Spirit helps us and guides us and leads us to a better place than we were before. And we're among family. We're among friends who will walk together with us as we make these small soul shifts in our lives. And the first soul shift we are going to talk about is the shift from me to you. It's about not focusing on ourselves, but beginning to focus on others. Now, of all of the disciples with Jesus, it's Simon Peter's story that demonstrates the shift away from self-centeredness to other-centeredness, from thinking about only me to thinking about you or others. Within the Jewish life, you see it within the Jewish life, and we see it in the Old Testament, that God does not want the Jewish people to intermix or intermarry with persons outside of the Hebrew race. Because the people of other cultures and faith would cause what?
Impurity.
They would cause the Jewish people to stray from God. We see it time and again. They would begin to forget about God. And more than that, they would begin to worship other gods. You see, they might think that they were missing out on something, some other god, some new way, another way. And in order to have their own way, they would turn from the one true God to seek out these other false gods. Commandment 1, I am the Lord your God. Do not seek other gods. There's only one God, and that's me. Commandment 2, do not make idols or graven images or worship them. Commandment 3, don't take my name in vain. Commandment 4, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy unto the Lord. Through the Old Testament, the people kept straying, and by the time we reach the New Testament, the Pharisees have all these tiny little laws and rules that take what God said for us to do to the nth degree. So by the time Jesus comes around, you cannot even be with others outside of the Jewish faith. But then to the extreme, if there are those who have fallen short even within the Jewish nation, you can't hang out with them either. Don't even go to their tent. Now in Luke chapter 15, Jesus shows that his focus is other-centered. As he tells the parable of the prodigal son, he tells it at a gathering of Jews who have, shall we say, strayed a little bit from the straight and narrow. They wanted to live life on their own terms, and the parable that Jesus tells addresses them on this. But in a twist. In a twist of the parable, Jesus is not only speaking to the lost inside the tent, but he's also speaking to those who considered themselves pretty righteous, who are standing outside of the tent, unwilling to come in. Luke leads us into the parable with these words. Read them with me. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." In the Jesus film, the scene focuses on Jesus and some of the partiers and then also Simon Peter, who is standing in the doorway with the other disciples and the righteous people who are unwilling to enter. They're unwilling to be other person focused. Unwilling to see the needs of others. Let's watch that.
I'd like to tell you a story. Oh, sit down.
Sit down.
A certain man had two sons. And one day the younger of these sons said to his father, "Give me my share of your estate now." So his father divided his wealth between his two sons. And a few days later, this younger son set off for a distant land. And there he squandered all the money he had on riotous living. Now, not long after this, a great famine swept over the land, and the the boy began to starve. He persuaded a farmer to hire him to feed his pigs, but he was so hungry that even the husks he was feeding the swine began to look good to him. And still, nobody gave him anything. Finally, the boy came to his senses. At home, even my father's servants have enough food and to spare. And here I am starving to death. I will go home and ask my father to hire me as one of his servants. And so he set off. Now he was still some distance from his home when his father saw him coming. And he was so filled with compassion that he ran towards his son and embraced him and kissed him. The boy said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am not worthy to be called your son." But his father called for the servants and said, "Bring me the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Put rings on his hands and shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We must celebrate with a feast." My son was dead and is alive again. Now, the older brother, at this time, was working in the fields. And as he came back to the house, he heard the noise of music and dancing. He called for one of the servants and asked what was happening. And he was told. At this, the older brother became very angry. And he refused to go into the house. The father came out, tried to plead with him, but he wouldn't listen. "I have worked for you all this time, all these years, and never once have I disobeyed you. And in all that time, you've never even given me so much as a goat so that I could have a feast with my friends. My younger brother comes back, having spent all your money on harlots. And for him, you kill the fatted calf. Please," said the father. "Please, try to understand. You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But it is right to celebrate. Your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
Forgive me, Master. Stupid man.
I'd like to tell you a story. Oh.
I could watch that over and over again. Now, I understand Luke 15 doesn't flesh out all that this scene does in the Jesus film, but what this scene shows us is, and what the scene shows us and did need to happen with the disciples, is this shift from the focus about me to the focus on you, to the focus on others. And we begin to see this shift in Peter's life. You see, for Peter, life isn't just about you. It's about others too. Even if they're not right with God. Maybe especially if they're not right with God. And it isn't a shift just for Peter, but it's a shift for all of us who follow Christ. For me and for you. In this morning's scripture, we see the next step where Peter is shown that God's focus is not about him, but it's about others too. Cornelius, a Greek centurion and God-fearing man, is a God-fearing man, but he has no one to help him truly understand who God is. So an angel of God tells him where to find Simon Peter, and in the meantime, Peter, who has come to be the leader of this new following called the Way, continues only to be involved with the Jewish people. He goes to spend some time with God in prayer as these Greeks are coming to get him. While with God, God gives Peter a vision. And I encourage you to look at it later today. But the short version is this. In the vision, Peter gets hungry. A sheet comes down from heaven with various types of animals and birds. None of them Jews have been allowed to eat. The Lord tells Peter to get up, kill, and eat. And Peter responds that he has never eaten anything impure, unclean, based on the Jewish dietary laws. The voice from heaven responds this, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And this happens not just once, but three times. You see, Peter needs to get it drilled into his head. Now, as Peter is wondering about the vision, the meaning of the vision, the Gentiles, those who are not of the Jewish faith, have come to ask him to come with them. At this point, the Spirit of God says to Peter, because he needs a little push, "Simon, these men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So in obedience to the Spirit, Peter goes with the men to Cornelius' home, where there is now a crowd of Gentile heathens in the eyes of the Jews. It must be at this point, as he listens to Cornelius, Peter reasons that God has brought him here for the express purpose of him to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And Scripture states that while Peter is still talking to them, still telling them about the good news, this happens. Read it with me. "The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Not only did they come to believe in Jesus as their Savior, as the Son of God, Savior of the world, Peter baptized them too." Now, Peter would go back and he would be criticized. Criticized for doing this outside of the Jewish faith. But he was listening to God. He was making a shift in his soul to no longer focus on himself, but to focus on others who need God. Now, in our lives, we often only think of ourselves, me, and find it hard at best to think about others and their needs. Whether it is dealing with people like you or people not like you, we need to break out and begin to think of the needs of other people and put them before our own needs. The shift is from me to you, from my focus to focus on others. Jesus was criticized for mixing with other Jews who sinned. Peter was criticized for going to these Gentiles. Others may criticize us for thinking or dealing with others, people maybe who are far from God, or people not even of your faith. But if we don't get outside of thinking only about our needs, our wants, we remain much like babies, very selfish. Churches die because they are self-centered, self-focused. Churches grow when we focus on those around us. I wonder what would have happened while Jesus was struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane, and instead of saying, "Not my will be done, Father, but your will be done." I wonder what would have happened if he had had that shift or had that focus on himself. "Father, I am so out of here. I don't want to give up my rights. I don't want to suffer for these hard-hearted people. I don't want to sacrifice my life for theirs. How about I just head on home? Beam me up." But Jesus didn't think about himself. He thought about others. He thought about you. Imagine what your life might be like if you think about others' needs ahead of your own. People would smile at you and talk with you. They'd want to be with you. They'd want to hear what you have to say. People would come to you for a better understanding of this God you say you worship. It wouldn't be about you, but it would be about them coming to know God. Sometimes simply showing interest in another person is the first step. Think about what churches would be like around the world. You see, people would be knocking down the doors of churches who were outward focused. They would want to be a part of that. Jesus did remain other focused and sacrificed himself so that our relationship with the Father would be repaired, so that we could be one day heaven bound. Actually, so that we, as Christ's followers, could help usher into the kingdom here and now. But remember, Jesus didn't do this just for us. He did this as an example for us to follow. It isn't easy. Jesus said at times it would be hard to follow him. "Pick up your cross and follow me." But the rewards are out of this world. When our focus changes from me to you, from my needs to the needs of others, that's when the shift takes place. When it's not about me, but when it's about you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives. Lord, that you have drawn us to yourself. And God, that we indeed are your children. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that as we prepare ourselves to commune with you through the bread and the juice, Lord, that we would take this moment to confess any known sin in our lives. Lord, that we would allow your Holy Spirit to show us where we have maybe gone astray, where we have thought about just our needs and not the needs of others. And so take this moment, friends, and in the quietness of your own heart, Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you anything that needs to be confessed to God. Maybe it was something you did or something you didn't do. Maybe it was something that you didn't do for God or did against God or didn't do for your neighbors or for your neighbors. Just take this moment to confess any known wrongdoing in your life. Almighty God, your word says that when we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That as far as the east is from the west, you remember our sin no more. And so, Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your courageous acts that have been focused always on us. And Lord, pray in Jesus' name that you would draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. So look up at me. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Now on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, it was the last night that he ate with his disciples. He took bread and he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." In the same manner, he took wine, this is juice, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood poured out for you for the remission of all of your sins." Jesus said to do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. So, Almighty God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of bread and juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be in ministry to each other, and, Lord, that we would be in ministry to all of those around us, that others may know your goodness and grace in our lives, and, God, that they would see and glorify you as a result of that. We ask for your glory in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.